Please stand. Please stand. It's a little live. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel today comes from the 12th chapter of Mark, which means it's toward the end of the gospel of Mark. And in fact, it's one of the last teaching Jesus gives while he's in Jerusalem after Palm Sunday. So Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the religious scholars who had listened to them debating and had observed how well Jesus had answered them now came up and put a question to Jesus. Which is the foremost of all the commandments? Jesus replied, "This is the foremost. Hear, O Israel, our God, God is one. You must love the Most High God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you must love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The scholar said to Jesus, "Well spoken, teacher. What you have said is true. The Most High is one, and there is no other. To love God with all your heart, with all your understanding and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, this is far more important than any burnt offering or sacrifice." Jesus, seeing how wisely this scholar had spoken, said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to question Jesus anymore. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Martin Luther was an all-in kind of guy. Beginning with the lightning strike that he felt almost took his life in the midst of that thunderstorm. He cried out to God, prayed to Anne, St. Anne, said, "If you'll save me from this, then I'll give my life to you." And sure enough, he switched from the law career that he was headed on, that his family wanted him to be on, and instead became a priest, became a monk. Martin Luther was an all-in kind of guy. When there in Wittenberg, he was studying the scripture, particularly the Old Testament, and ran across in Habakkuk the verse that said, "The righteous shall live by faith." Then as he pulled on that thread of righteousness and faith and ran across passages like in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing," he realized and was overwhelmed by the grace of God. And being all in, he couldn't help but began preaching that and, of course, writing 95 theses that laid it all out and pointed out how there's a conversation the church needed to have. Instead of being all about working your way to God, it's about how God has come to us. Martin Luther was an all-in kind of guy. If you just head into the pastor's office, you'll see the 14 volumes of Luther's works where he continued to write about, to write commentaries on the Bible, to preach sermons, to send letters, some of them pretty out there. But he was an all-in kind of guy. He couldn't help but do what he could to spread this good news that had been revealed to him through God's word and make it available to as many people as possible. Today's gospel is an all-in kind of gospel. Jesus is there. Primarily, he's been arguing with Sadducees and Herodians and Pharisees. They're all trying to test him and trick him. And after he has responded to them, a scholar then just asks a very inquiring question. What is the greatest? What's the foremost commandment? And Jesus' answer is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." You're to love God all in with your heart, that place that holds our desires and passions. It's about giving your heart to God and seeking God. We're gathered here today to worship as an expression of our desire to open ourselves up and to focus on God and what God calls us to do. We're called to love God with our whole soul, with the very essence of our being, with all that we are at our deepest depths, to align that, to focus that, and have that mirror what God calls us to be and do. We're called to love God with our whole mind, to use all of our faculties, all of our ability to figure things out, to be creative, to find ways to love God, and to figure out what love looks like right now. What does it look like to love God in this time and in this place? And of course, love God with all our strength. It's not just a heart thing. It's not just an intellectual thing. It's not just a being thing. It's an action thing. By what, how we use our hands, where we let our feet take us, or whatever mode of transportation we have. To use all of our abilities, our physical bodies, and our wind and our words, everything we say and do, to love our God with all of that. Jesus was all in. He was an all-in kind of person. He showed his love for God by the obedience, by his commitment to go to the cross, by his commitment to give his whole life so that the world might know of this grace. He was an embodiment of the great commandment, the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. But then Jesus also said there was a second commandment, or the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those of you that know the Ten Commandments, and I hope most of you know the Ten Commandments. Otherwise it's time to go back and review confirmation, isn't it? But the first three are focused on loving God. The fourth one is to honor your father and mother. The rest are really about interactions with your neighbor, with people that you're living with, living around. And clear commandments. Don't steal from them. Don't kill them. Don't cheat on them. Don't try to defraud them. Don't lie about them. Don't be jealous of what they have and try to scheme to get it. But as many of you learned in confirmation, the law is like a curb. And so there's a lot of people that don't do those things. I mean, actually, you can do almost all those things just if you avoid people completely, right? There's something missing. And Jesus said that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And in this summarizing commandment, he fulfills that law. It's not just about doing bad things to and against your neighbor and keep refraining from that. It's about loving your neighbor. That's a much bigger thing to be about. Love, of course, it's such a hard word in English because it has so many meanings. And so I've started using more and more synonyms for it. It's about looking out for the needs of others. Love is showing compassion and being compassionate. Love is about service, where you put the needs of others and seek to improve their well-being. It's about, the Greek word is agape, this self-giving, other-focused love that is not about what you get out of it, but about how it provides life for the person in front of you, the person next to you, the person whom you encounter. It's caring about others. It's also, it looks like forgiveness. We use the word grace a lot, God's grace. At the heart of that is God's willingness and desire, God's love for us, that God forgives us. When we talk about loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, it means practicing forgiveness over and over and over. Because, face it, those neighbors around you sin. Of course, we all sin. We've all fallen, as Romans says, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. These commandments are about all in. All in loving God, all in loving your neighbor. And if we're going to be judged by that, we're in trouble, aren't we? Because we cannot fulfill perfectly on that. But it is about setting that goal, having that be the priority, the end, what we're aiming for with our lives. Knowing that we're mortal, knowing that we'll mess up. But God's grace is there. Again, this is Reformation Sunday. This day, 504? Thank you. I hadn't done the math beforehand. 504 years ago, Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses up on the wall to get the conversation going. And that conversation created a split in the church. But he said the church needs to reform. The church needs to open itself up. And in that reformation, wonderful things happened. There's also hard things that happened. But it was about God's grace. And out of that experience of trying to live and also trust in God's grace, we have one of those quotes that people love to use by Martin Luther. They usually say, sin boldly. But there, the rest of that is as important or more important. Sin boldly, but trust in God more boldly still. Yes, we know we're going to fail. We're not going to love God perfectly with our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. We're not going to love our neighbors perfectly as we love ourselves. But we sin boldly, striving to live out that love, trying to live out that compassion, that service, that adoration of God, knowing that when we fall short, we land in the arms of a God who is gracious. 9 years ago this week, this congregation voted to be an affirming congregation. I never realized it before, but it must have been a Reformation Sunday. Does anybody remember? If it was, because the date is October 28th, and if it had happened on a Sunday, that would have been Reformation Sunday. It was a step by this church after a lot of struggling with Scripture, trying to discern what love looks like in this time and place. Congregation took a step to reform itself, to be a always reforming church, continuously asking, what does it look like right now for God's word to penetrate our lives? What does it look like for God's word to be alive now? What does grace and love, discipleship, what do those things look like right now? For the last 3 years, the council, through the listening team and the centering team, we've been inquiring that question. Who is God calling us to be? What is God calling us to do? One of those values that we discerned is about being inclusive. But it's also a clear commitment to doing what we can to create a space here in worship so folks are focused on God and that there's room for the Spirit to move. Also to be a servant church, where we serve one another, but especially we love our neighbors through service. We look for ways that we can have God's grace and love and compassion felt beyond our walls through what we can do and what we can support. Yeah, we'll fall short. Yes, we'll make mistakes. But over and over, we remind ourselves that we are a grace people. We trust in God's grace. We trust in God's forgiveness. We practice forgiveness. We are here today on Reformation Sunday because Martin Luther was an all-in kind of person. As a congregation, we strive to be an all-in congregation. And all into loving God, all in loving our neighbor. Following in the path of Martin Luther, where, sure enough, he got things wrong. But Martin Luther was an all-in kind of guy who was following an all-in kind of guy named Jesus. An all-in kind of guy who lived out compassion, who lived out obedience, who lived out studying and discerning God's word, who lived out giving one's life so that life may abound. Jesus was an all-in kind of person who revealed to us the all-in kind of God that we know. A God of grace, a God of love, a God of forgiveness. Amen.